The idea was to do a bit of, you know, this time of year when we get new students coming along, hello, all you old students, which is most of you, we do a bit about who we are, you know, Woody, what's our vision, and so on. But as I prepared this, it seemed more important to take a portion of the word, a word that just got hold of me, and teach on a particular word. And that word is maturity. I sort of like, come on then, so that looks good. So let's have a look at Ephesians 4, and we'll read the first 16 verses, I think. I'm going to pray first. Father, we thank you for your word. What a gift. Thank you for your word, Lord. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would open our minds and our hearts, our very beings, to your word now as it's read, Father. And that you would change us through your word for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This is all looking rather good. Okay, here we go. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train, and he gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower, the earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. And from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Amen. Thank you, Alistair, for that. So, if we can switch to the PowerPoint now, and we'll see the text. Yeah. Well, the text is coming. Okay. Just building the tension, and there we have it. Here's the text. Until we all, oh, glory. Until we all. I just want to preach at that point then. I'm going to change. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And what I'm going to be talking on is this idea of mature, becoming mature. I mean, there's a heck of a lot in that, but I'm just going to try and have some thoughts around this idea of becoming mature. How do you become mature? Now, if we have the next slide, please. Because I was thinking today I was going to speaking to about 200 freshers, I'd actually sort of was thinking, I was looking a bit at faith next year, Let's book that in. I was actually thinking a bit about what happens when you come to uni. So we can just bang through this list quite quickly. Go on, put them all up. And stop there. That's good. That's very good. You're a student. Right. So uni, you know, it's a time of change. I mean, just that period in your life is one of the, you know, one of the adolescences. You know, there's a number of adolescences, you know. You know, from, you know, the sort of toddler and the few. There's not just that teenage thing, that the nightmare one. There's change. And from 18 to 21, you know, you're going to grow a lot and you're going to change a lot. You're going to grow in all sorts of different ways in your confidence, the way you view relationships, the way you view the world. Growth, hopefully you are going to grow in knowledge. Otherwise, well, I'm going to just put that with you. I can't do much about that. But you are going to grow. You're going to grow in, you know, hopefully confidence and, you know, experiences and, you know, lots of different ways. You're going to be taking risks. Now, you've got to be careful here. Do they still, now I hear that the culture in universities is changing. 10 years ago when my youngest went to Aberystwyth, every alcohol producing team on the planet was in Aberystwyth with tankers in the street, basically, it seemed to me, you know, offering to pour it down your throat. They had vouchers for every alcoholic thing. And then you say, well, yeah, they're obviously trying to get their customers early and keep them for life. But I read recently that students are more interested in drinking coffee and talking about their homework. Now, and then I talk to people in the community who still find every morning a line of empty bottles all the way from the uni right out on cars and all the rest of it. So you're the guys there. Tell me, drinking at university, is this still a big thing? Is there still promotion to try and get people drinking? They're still there. Okay. I'm not surprised, because it's a lot of money, isn't it? So, you know, you're learning how to cope with that. You're learning. I mean, I just would, if you took me and plant me in university now, I would just be destroyed. It is such a challenging environment. So this is why we're committed to supporting you. Seriously, it's why, as a church, we really want to support people through these 3 years. This is not an easy gig. And you guys are awesome going through this and shining a light into that situation. You're so privileged and blessed and called to be able to do that. So please take advantage of that. Okay, you're going to be taking risks, so obviously you need to be very good at risk assessments. Risks are good, you've got to step out. You know, you're going to be shaping your future. You know, some of you have maybe come and say, well, I'm just going to see how it goes. And others, you know what you're doing, then what you've got to do now, if you're doing medicine or something, it's going to shape your future. All I would say is shaping your future is not the same as letting your future crush you. By that I mean that don't think that in these 3 years you have to sort your whole life out. And if you don't get what you're supposed to be getting in these 3 years, you're knackered. Because I know that mental health issues are increasing right across the universities, and that's a serious thing. And a lot of that is to do with, am I going to get it? You know, the pressure. Don't put that pressure on yourselves. You've got to have some pressure. You're not going to get out of bed with that pressure. You've got to have some pressure, but don't put too much on yourselves. Because this is only 3 years out of your whole life. You've got your whole life. And these days, you know, people change. This is my third or maybe my fourth career. Totally different things. Biochemistry, social work, housing, pastor. Well, actually, I retired and then pastor. Lord. But why I'm saying that is you will learn a lot, but that can serve you in all sorts of different ways in life. So don't put too much pressure on yourself. Anyway, but it's a time to, mature. There you go. Now the multimedia's cutting in. It's a time to mature. You will mature, hopefully, in some way as adults. You will learn about risks. You will learn about people to avoid. You will learn about how you spot a good friend. You will learn lots of things that help you mature. But maturity is something that takes activity. You know, cheese is mature, but all you do is fill them with bugs and stick them in a cave, you know, and they're going to mature. You can mature wine or whiskey. You can stick it in a vat. But for people, there's a process and there's decisions. So I'm going to talk about the maturity in the Christian faith. So on the next slide, please. This is, Yeah, and again, this is the same text, but in the New Living Translation. This will continue, right? What will continue? The idea that those ministries of pastors and apostles and teachers preparing the church, preparing the people for works of service will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith, unity, key, in our faith and a knowledge of God's Son. Unity, knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature. So this is where the Lord wants to take us. This is where we could be heading, but it doesn't just happen. It's not the same as cheese in a cave. You need to be making decisions. And we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So how do we mature? Let's crack up. There we are. Personal commitment, number one. Okay, I'll come. These are the three main things that I've just seen as I just try and do things in threes. Personal commitment, be involved in community, and serve. Okay, so it starts with yourself. Take responsibility. One of the big things about coming to uni is that whole responsibility thing, isn't it? Things don't just happen as they seem to do at home sometimes, perhaps. Be involved in community and serve others. All right, let's have a look at these one by one. All right, so first of all, next slide, please. Personal commitment. Let's have a look at the first line. To grow in knowledge, okay? Now, this word knowledge, right? So knowledge, generally knowledge is gnosis in the Greek, which is, you know, just knowing stuff. The word here, knowledge, is epinosis. It's the bigger thing. And what it's trying to get over is the fact that you need to grow in understanding. You need to grow in knowledge. You need to learn about Christ and the faith. You need to read, etc., etc. But it's more than that. It's realizing who Christ really is. So there's an experiential aspect. There's a relationship aspect. That's why I say it's understanding, but also relationship. You can know an awful lot about the Bible, and you may not have a relationship and walk with the Holy Spirit. You can be very strong on the sensation and the feeling of the presence of God and knowing that. But if you're not putting the word into that as well, then you will be lacking. You need to be full of knowledge and zeal, really. And that comes from the relationship. So just a few quick things on this. Use the resource. What resource do I mean? Sorry? Thank you very much. The Bible. For the rest of you, the answer was the Bible. Okay, I'm going to change some of these notes. Right, so yes, the Bible is the resource we've been given. Do you know what? All you need to do is go onto the web and look up something like Wycliffe Bible Translators or something like that and find out people who have not got Bibles and what they will do to get them. And look at videos of when Bibles arrive in a new language, say in Papua New Guinea, one of the islands or something like that, and see their response to having the Word of God in their hand. Oh my gosh, it'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind. It's so beautiful. And we got Bibles coming out of our ears. We don't even know them. So use the resource God has given. Okay? Study. Find the way that works for you. But you need to apply it. It's more than just, you know, the sort of thought for the day stuff. That's good. But that's like a sort of, that's like a snack. You need to go into the Word. Because the Spirit will use the Word to change you. It's more than just, you know, there's a dynamic there. Please, please, please see the Word as that. Take time to wait with the Holy Spirit. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Even young men will fall. Even the most vigorous of you will struggle and fall. But if you wait on the Lord, if you get in that time and you wait, but you don't wait on your own, you wait with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's with you. I'd really encourage you to do that. Even healing. I've found that God can bring healing into my life if I just take time to wait on Him. If I make the prayer and then I wait on Him, I find that God brings healing into my life. There's an powerful thing. And of course, it means making time. It means making a lot of decisions about cutting off other things and saying this is important. And finally, this is something I've been banging on about for a while. I have just found it very useful to start the day with the Lord. And by that I mean, and here's a challenge, before you check your social media, before you check whose cat has been sick or whatever, before you check what is going on in the world of importance or not, just take a moment to say, thank you for today, Lord. Psalm 6 says, I pray before you in the morning and I lay it before you. The idea there is that the first thing in the morning, you, because those 5 and 6, they're the evening and morning psalms. So the idea is you lay it, you take the day and you lay it before him. And here's the thing. You pray and you lay it before him, and then the Hebrew has got the sense of watch. And it's like you lay the day before him, you say, Lord, I'm going to watch what you're going to do with the day I've just given to you. You've given it to me, I lay it before you. I'm available, Lord. That is a very powerful thing, very powerful. It's not saying, Lord, I've got a lot of meetings on today, can you bless them all? It's moving that around a little bit and saying, Lord, you know my day. Here it is. I want to see what you're doing. Honestly, 30 seconds, a minute, first thing in the day, before you check on that, please, touch that place with the Lord. And he will honor that. He will honor that. He will walk with you. So that's the start of the day thing. And I found in my life, just thanking the Lord for the day, it really helps. All right, next one. Be involved in community. Okay? We need to grow together to come to fullness. That's what the verse was saying. Right, body, right? Every time in the scriptures it talks about the gifts, it talks about the body. The body. That whole thing, right? That whole portion that I read is about the body. Here's the thing. You can, and you have to have your time alone with God, and you have to have your study time. But if you just do that, You will fall into a different trap. If you just do that, I know that God is great and Christians can be a pain. That's a given. I mean, obviously Christians here are beautiful and wonderful and amazing and marvelous. But, you know, Christians can be a pain, but that is the whole idea. We work this stuff out together. It doesn't just go like that. It goes like that. That's why there's compromise and forgiveness and repentance and grace. But if you think that you can grow, if you like, on your own, there are certain situations like when Watchman Nee was in prison, he would have a grace to grow, and he basically led other people to Christ. We built a church around him. And, you know, when people are locked away, God does amazing things. But normally, when there are Christians around you, if you expect to grow without relating to others, it's a bit like the ear on a baby expecting to grow but not be part of the body. You know, the whole thing where Paul's talking about the body, he says, you know, can an ear say, I don't need the rest of it? Can an eye say, I don't need the rest of it? The whole body's needed. And the whole body grows together. That's the whole idea here. So in a sense, you have to be, if committed to be good, interested to be a good start in others' growth, in order for you to grow. We need each other. We've been given to each other. And be a contributor. Don't just be, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Don't just be a taker, be a contributor. That's one of the things I think, you know, as you mature, as you go through this, you're able to give more because you're more settled in who you are, and you can step out. Be accountable and vulnerable. You've got to be accountable. Guys, I'm going to do this thing I often do. Guys, you need to be accountable, especially in the whole area of porn and stuff. I mean, you know, it's a nightmare. And I know that porn sites are now trying to make them, they're making certain areas, you won't believe this, attractive to teenage girls. I've heard of that just this week with someone who had experienced that as a parent. So this insidious thing of porn. So there's all the controls and et cetera, but there's accountability. Guys, I'm talking particularly to guys because you may know I'm a guy. We need that accountability. And there are older guys here in Woody who have traveled this journey and are there. They're scarred warriors. And they've come through. And they're there to help others. And you will get reality from them, and you will get love, and you won't get judgment. But please, if you're thinking this is an area that I need to talk to me after, and I'll link you up with someone. But don't waste this, because there are some voracious things out there trying to get you. And you need to be able to hold someone else's hand. Ideally, someone who's been through it. There's maybe something there for someone. Anyway, you need to be vulnerable. You need, in order to give, you need to risk rejection. That's part of maturity. make yourself vulnerable. Get what's the worst that can happen, that sort of thing, you know. Okay, so be involved in community. And finally, for these three things, service. It's so tied in with service. Follow Jesus, take a towel. Okay, good T-shirt. This alludes to one of my favourite passages in Scripture in John 13, where they're there for the supper, for the Last Supper, and it says Jesus, knowing that he'd come from the Father, and he was returning to the Father, and the Father had given everything he needed into his hands, got up from the table, and took off his garments. Now, I'm guessing his garments would have said something about his status. You know, he was a sort of a rabbi. He was called rabbi. He laid that aside, and he took a towel, and he girded himself with a towel. And of course, as you know, he went round and he washed the feet of his disciples. Forget about what Peter said for the moment, but at the end, he said, "As I have done, you need to do." And he was speaking really strongly to leaders' service, but it's also for the whole church. Because he was saying to his disciples, "As I have done, you need to do. We need to serve one another in that way of humility." If it's good enough for Jesus, he gave us that example. Okay, that's the right heart. You've got such an opportunity, going back to the university thing, invest your time in something that makes a difference. Don't just sort of, you know, cruise through it and entertain your way through it. And you know, you've got to have a good time. I hope you have the best time ever, a lot of fun. But find something that will make a difference. So at the end of 3 years, you know, I made a difference in their lives. You know, I worked with these kids or I did something. And that's different because of what I was able to put in it. Seek God about it. It is the most exciting thing in the world to feel that you can look back and you say, "I made a difference in someone's life," whatever that is to you. Take risks, be vulnerable. I'm obviously very, very keen on you being vulnerable. Take risks. Try things you may not like. Try things you don't think will work. Try things because it is not the end of the world. This is a chance to try stuff. Try stuff. Try stuff. Try stuff. Right. Hallelujah. Where do we got to now? Woody. Okay. Right. Go back there, Woody. Okay. While you're working that out. Go back. I think you've gone on there. Forthcoming attractions. Let me just say something, Woody. That one. That's the vulnerable. That's the making mistakes. First time you have spaghetti hoops. Second time, it's not so bad. At your age, you've probably got it pretty much mastered now. I hope. I love that picture. Right, well, while that's working itself out, the idea of the mess, yeah? You just got to make a mess. What's the worst that can happen? Be free. I think we're going back to the word there, right. Okay, I'm gonna look at my notes here because I'm getting quite confused about that now, right? Okay, don't be scared of making a mess. Right, two keys of maturity. So I told you about the 3 points. Here's two keys. Number one, it's not about you. That is a mark of maturity. There are people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s who still think it's about them. There are people in high offices in public life, I'm not going to go over there, who think it's about them. Realizing the place of the ego is one of the signs of maturity. Realizing that it's not all about you. And do you know why, for Christians, it's even more powerful? It doesn't have to be about you, because Jesus is all about you. Yeah? You're the apple of God's eye. Jesus gave his life for you. You're so precious to Jesus. He thinks of you all the time. Jesus is like, "Yeah, you're so precious to me. I love you so much." You, Christians, have got more freedom than any to step out of that and say, "It doesn't have to be all about me." You don't have to maintain that little garrison and fight off people who are going to affect you, because Jesus has got you. He's got your back. He's got your front. He's got everything. He's above and below and all around. In that security of the love of Christ, it's even easier to say it's not about you. Because if you think it's all about you, you're going to be a pain. But you're going to find it very hard to connect and to develop relationships and to so on and so on. That takes a lifetime, but I think it's a key to maturity. That a very one thing about immaturity you can see. I mean, it's like a child, isn't it? A child, it's all about the child. It has to be. But if you're still acting as a toddler when you're 30, okay, we've gone off track here somewhere. What was the other thing? Find a place that helps you to mature. I want to go back to what Sophie said. You know, we just want to see people in their right place. We want to see where God is calling them. You need to test things. But I would give yourself, if you're still looking for a church, I would give yourself a time limit. Don't drift through 3 years. I've actually prayed with people at the end of 3 years, say, Chris, I've wasted 3 years. I've never gone into a church. I was never accountable. I never served. I've wasted. So we pray for restoration and go back. But give yourself a couple of months and say, by this time, God, I want to be in a church. I want to be sorted. God will get it. God will get it. Okay, but I'd encourage you to find a place that helps you mature. And that means there's going to be a challenge, a place where you can serve, a place where you can be stretched. Wherever that is, you know, church, I'm thinking church, I'm thinking other connections and stuff. Don't just look, I don't want to be heavy here, but don't just look for entertainment. It's maturity you've got to chase after. Anyway, Woody, quick word on Woody. This is normally where I sort of share the vision of Woody and all that. Woody is in an interesting place. I've got to be very honest with people. Woody is in an interesting place. I think we know what we were, but we're not quite yet clear on what we shall be. God is moving us. God is changing us. God is bringing us to a new season. There's no point to me standing up here and saying, oh yeah, Woody's great. We're not seeing many people to come to faith. That breaks our hearts. We're beginning to get into prayer. We're beginning to understand a bit more about community life together. We've gone through a period where quite a few people have left, mostly 90% for good reasons. People coming into their destiny, as I put it. People finding that things have aligned and things they've been waiting for years, they can move on. People gone into serving other areas. Good stuff. But it's pointless me telling you, you come here for a while. And think, oh, this is strange. We're trying to work this out. We need to pray more and we need to hear God more. So that's where Woody's at. Here's our strap line. Love God, love each other, love Cates. Now, just to explain this, what this should say, in a sense, what it really means is love and serve God, love and serve each other, love and serve Cates. Because, of course, love God, it gets, you know, it says something, but it's not the full sort of contents of the tin, because it's a bit vacuous, isn't it? Because love shows itself in service. By your love for one another, they will know you're my disciples. It's action, isn't it? Let's have a quick look at some of that, and I'll just bang through this now because we're out of time. Love God, responsibility to maintain your personal relationship, being through there. We gather to worship and serve in different ways, but serve the Lord. And here's what I've been saying, we need to listen and obey. That's part of loving God. Next, how do we love each other? In community, we have life groups, cell groups, serving one another, prayer times. These are all different ways that we are exploring these, and some of these are new, some have been gone for a while. We're trying to get discipleship going. There's people available to do that. Really sort of building that sort of core of the place. And love, that's fine. Love Cates, right, okay, love and serve Cates. First of all, you've got to know Cates. You can't love something you don't know. So I would encourage you, right, whether you come to here or not, but just to use Cates is good. Don't just think you've got to go to Costa and the stuff you know. Take risks, step out. Great cafes out there. Best value coffee is in Saffron. You get a massive mug of Americano, really strong, for about, I think it's about, still less than £2. Really, really amazing. Great breakfast over there. Great cafes around here. All sorts of businesses up here. Please use local businesses. Be part of it. Use this time to be part of it. Get to know it. And then maybe there's opportunities to serve the community, Cates. So in our church here, there's no way, I'm trying to speak as fast as this. LA, yeah, we send people to Los Angeles every year. No, that team is full, funnily enough. Booked up years ago. Little Acorns. That's our Wednesday afternoon toddler group. TAVS is a partnership we do with Tavistock, working with the homeless. Fiona heads that up. We got links with schools. We haven't started to work in that yet, but we got the relationships there. Food Bank, we do here twice a week. And embarrassingly at the moment, it's mostly non-Woody people that staff that. And then go back to Tuesday night, you come here and you find out the stuff we've been doing, which is what Ruth said earlier. Okay. Are we there yet? Summary. Right. Take responsibility. You're going to have to answer for it. I'm discharging my duty here. I'm trying to help you, but you've got to take responsibility. Next. Be part of something. Take time to serve. Ah, it's a dragon. It takes time. Yeah, but you'll get so much out of it. Take a step out of yourself into something else. Find somewhere that will help you mature. There we are. I think that's it, isn't it? And finally, this is where we got to start and finish, isn't it? It's all about him. What's he saying to you? This is who you're serving. When you serve the community, when you do it out of love, you ultimately are serving Christ. The worship isn't, of course, just the singing. It's all about him. He gave his all. And then he just says, how much do you want, like, guys? But you will not find a fuller life by really going for it with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for everyone that's gathered here this morning. I ask you to bless them, Father God. I lay the word before you. I pray that you would watch over it and perform it and remove the Chris stuff, and you would apply the Spirit stuff, Lord. I pray you would bless every one of your people here today, Father. And you would lead us, oh Lord, you would lead us. I pray particularly for anyone that's maybe has started or is on the track to something that's not great for them, Lord. I pray you would give them a wake-up call. Pray you would give us all a maturity check, Father God, to find out sort of how that maturity thing is going, Lord, with you, Father. Because we know that's what your Holy Spirit wants. You want us to grow up to be more like Christ and grow up together into that. Father, I pray for Woody. That you would help us to do that. You would help us to look out for each other, to listen to you, Father God, and to show that you're real to us by our love for one another. And for the guys here today trying to make a decision, would you lead them to the place that you've got for them, Father, the part of the family, the part of the body of Christ, Cardiff, that you want to link them in with. I ask you these things, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's just take a moment there, rather before we go into the worship. Just take a moment to think that you might just want to just look and meditate on that name, or just close your eyes and just ponder anything the Holy Spirit's saying to you.